Again, good morning. So it's so great to be here with all of you, to see so many wonderful faces. It truly is a blessing for me and my family. We thank you all, from my family to yours. Just thank you for the way you have come up to us and continue to encourage us and pray for us. And we are blessed to be part of such a wonderful family. Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are God, that you have always been, Lord, long before Wilshire even existed, that you have been around. Lord, you are faithful. We thank you for your wonderful church. We thank you for your Son who died on the cross, who bled, who shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins, Father. We thank you for that. We enter into that this morning. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. You know, just as we were praying this morning and getting ready for this service, we were talking about the pictures on the wall in there and the history of this church. And it made me begin to think of, this is a little impromptu, but made me begin to think of Jesus. And as he comes in the picture of Revelation and he says this, he says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but now look. I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave." Jesus is the one. He is the reason we are here. He is the one that we gather for. This is all about the glory of God. And it is so neat to be a part of a church that has continued to lift Jesus' name high. And that's why we And that's why we're having a Rally Sunday. It's not about me, and it's not about all these things, but it's about God. And that's an exciting thing. We have an amazing God. And so let's worship him this morning. Let's learn from this text. We're going to go, if you have your Bibles with you, or you can follow along on the screen, we're going to go to Luke 14. And the title of this message this morning is in a Rally Sunday, to the streets and to the alleys. And that's where we're going, in the alley. And so what Jesus has in the picture of Luke, if you've studied the book of Luke, you know that there's a constant theme of eating. I like to eat. Anybody like to eat? Yes. Oh, I got some amens. All right. We like to eat. And that's what I love, that God is the giver of good things. And God gives us food, and it's a blessing. One of my favorite scriptures even says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." God gives us a picture that we actually get to taste God. And so when Jesus walks this earth, he begins to show us, and he's often at scenes, you'll see a lot of scenes, he's eating with his disciples. He's reclining with them as they would sit often at the table. They would have the table and then often sit on the floor and even sometimes lean up against each other. And so there's this aspect of fellowship and community that you see, and there's a constant theme in Luke. And so in Luke 14, there's three pictures around here where they're eating. And so the first one is Jesus comes into, as they're eating, he gives a lot of these analogies and these stories about eating. And so he comes in and he's eating at the house of a Pharisee, a leader. One of the leaders of the Pharisee. And so he comes in and he's sitting down, and then he heals a man with edema or dropsy. And so that's a swelling of the skin and maybe had some sort of heart failure. We don't know exactly. But so Jesus is looking around and there's this discussion going on with these leaders. Is it okay to heal on the Sabbath? And Jesus, many times, they don't have an answer. Because the religious leaders are so concerned about getting everything right and dotting all the I's and their T's and crossing their T's and making sure, well, we don't know exactly. And Jesus says, you're missing the heart of it. Often in Scripture, he's pointing to the heart, that they understand that it is right to do good even on the Sabbath. And so Jesus heals this man. And then we're going to go where we're going to pick up this morning. In verse 12, then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And this is where it gets interesting here, verse 15. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, so he hears Jesus explain this and saying, hey, when you throw a banquet, when you're hosting people, don't just invite those that can repay you. Don't just invite the ones that you agree with, the ones that look like you, talk like you. Invite the ones that are different, the ones that are hurting, the ones that are in need. He says, those are the ones you want to bring in. Those are the ones that, and why does he do this? He gives us a picture of the kingdom, a picture of his kingdom that all of us are invited into his kingdom. We'll get there more in just a little bit. But I love this. There's somebody at the table. Jesus talks very practically, right? He says, this is how you help others, how you love others. Those that don't look like you or talk like you, you bring them into your house, and you feed them. You take care of them. You love them. Explains that. And then somebody takes it and goes kind of hyper-spiritual, maybe. Verse 15. He says this, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. So do you understand what's going on here? Jesus is talking about physically blessing people. And then he says, well, blessed is really the one who's going to eat at the kingdom of God, in the feast in the kingdom of God. So he's talking about heaven and a spiritual, which is very good. But often in scriptures we see that it's the reality of who Jesus is, right? He's flesh and blood. He is God, 100% God, and 100% man. So it's not, Jesus doesn't just in the physical, or he doesn't just dwell in the spiritual. And you can see this with the religious leader who just wants to dwell in the spiritual. Yeah. I know about, I'm supposed to do all of that, you know, loving the people that are different than me. But let's talk about heaven, right? We love to talk about heaven. But let's ignore that. Now Jesus says, well, okay, let's talk about heaven. Heaven might be a bigger surprise than you actually think. And so he goes into this. He continues the story, says this. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent a servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field and must go and see it. Please excuse me. Well, it would be ridiculous in these days, and just any day. Right now, my wife and I were in the process of just moving, and so many of you have prayed for us. It would be like me showing up and just saying, okay, I don't know which house, I just want that house. And you guys, I actually can't come to church today because I got to go see the house I just bought. It's ridiculous, right? If you're going to buy a piece of land, you would already go see it. And so Jesus begins to show the ridiculousness of the excuse of this man. And so he goes into the next one. It says, they all began to make excuses. In verse 17, at the time, let me see, I lost my spot here. Verse 19, another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am on my way to try them out. Very similar. I haven't seen the oxen yet. They could be these scrawny little oxen. He has no idea. But here's the example in both of these. Jesus is showing that both of them have great wealth. 5 oxen back then is a lot. And so these are 2 wealthy men. And what are they choosing? They're choosing things, land and oxen, maybe security, well-being over Jesus. They're making an excuse for that. And then the third one, verse 20. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. All right, we'll cut that guy a break. No, I'm just kidding. But there's 3 excuses that are here and are made. But then it says this in verse 21. So the servant comes back and reports this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry, and he ordered his servant. Last week, we did the little mini sermonette. Here's another time. We're getting a picture because I hope you see it in this passage, that Jesus often does that. So the master is God. And so he's sending off the servant to go and report and ask people to come into the banquet. And the servant reports they're giving excuses. And you see that God becomes angry because there are so many things that are out there. Now, sometimes we can misconstrue this anger. And we as servants can say, we can take on God's anger and try and be angry with people. That doesn't work. We're not sinless and perfect like God is. If I tried to do that, it won't come across very well. You need to get into church. You know, that we can say all these things and it doesn't come off the right way. What the job of the servant, our job, my job, is to invite people. And why? Because why is the master, why is God angry? Because he loves his children. He loves his children and he wants to bless them. That's the picture of the banquet. The banquet is a blessing, food to come, to taste and see that God is good. There is a blessing that is offered, and oh, it breaks God's heart for those that aren't part of that blessing. The blessing, as we're going to even take in communion, there is a blessing for all. And that is freely offered through the cross. That blessing is for everyone, and yet there are many that walk away. So the story continues. When he comes quickly, he comes back, and then halfway through 21, then the owner of the house, as we talked about, he became angry and ordered a servant, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there still is room. He says, go quickly into the streets and the alleys. And that's the title of today's sermon. Don't worry, that wasn't just some long intro. We're in this, okay? You're like, oh man, we're gonna be here. No. But go into the streets and the alleys. That is a commandment of the master. Go into the places that aren't very comfortable. You know, after I was interviewing here at Wilshire and just walking through the streets and praying and saying, God, are you calling me here? And so I'm walking along and I was dressed up, you know, kind of business, casual. And so I'm walking around at night. And I know I look a little out of place. You know, there's college students. It's just in downtown, there's kind of a livelihood going down. And I realize I'm out of place. And as I'm walking along, somebody approaches me they cross the street and they approach me in my blind spot. Now, where I grew up, you don't approach somebody from their blind spot because you're always wondering, are they going to mug me? You know, so I kind of turn around and I'm just looking at them like, what's up? You know, because I see them kind of coming for me right here. And I'm like, what are you doing? And so I turned around, and he very rough-looking guy and had gone through just maybe some difficult times. And so he's asking me for money. And at that moment when he asked, so he's asking for me for money, and I'm praying, God, is this the place for me? And I felt God saying, welcome home. A place into the streets. God calls us into the streets, into the alleys. He calls us into the streets and the alleys of Fullerton for people that don't look like us. My prayer is that this Wilshire, and Wilshire has done this over the generations, and that's what got me excited about this church. Opening these doors to everyone, to the streets and to the alleys. And guess what, friends? When we begin to do that more and more people come that don't look like us, talk like us, and maybe we even remove the us. Because Jesus says, let me show you. Because the man, the religious leader that says this, blesses this feast at the kingdom, his idea of salvation was only for the Israelites. Many of us wouldn't even be included in that. And Jesus says, no, there are many of the Jews that have ignored my invitation. There are many Christians that show up time and time again and might call themselves Christian, might show up to church, and might miss out on the blessing. Jesus says, this invitation is for all. One of my favorite verses, Revelation 3:20. Jesus says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, may they open the door and come in. And Jesus says, I will come in and eat with him, and the person will eat with me. What a beautiful picture of our Savior who is at the door knocking. Think about all of the stories of Jesus and food. Jesus feeding the 5,000, and we think there's probably 15,000 that he fed. Jesus is seen at banquets turning water into wine. Jesus constantly is feeding. When the disciples, other times, there's multiple accounts of these feedings, the 5,000, these miracles, and Jesus says to the disciples, he says, you feed them. You bless them. Jesus, Zacchaeus, right? Zacchaeus hears about Jesus, and he comes, and Jesus sees Zacchaeus up in the tree, and he says, come down. What does he say to him? I'm going to eat in your house. I'm going to stay with you. Jesus goes to those who are marginalized. And who was Zacchaeus? He was a tax collector. Tax collectors, without going into that whole story, were helping the Roman Empire. And this Roman Empire was continuing to oppress the Jews of the time. They were killing them. And they were tyrannical. They were ruling over them. And they were taking, the tax collectors would take money from the Jews and fund the Roman Empire. Guess how many Jews liked that, those tax collectors? Not very many. Yet Jesus says, I'm going to eat at your house. Now, do you know Jesus, when he walked this earth, he was known, not known, because Jesus was always without sin, but he was claimed, many said that he's a drunkard and a glutton. My prayer is that we'd be known as drunkards and gluttons. Not really. Let me explain that. Why was Jesus called a drunkard and a glutton? Jesus never got drunk, and Jesus wouldn't overeat and do all of these things, because we know the scriptures say that Jesus is without sin. Yet, how could he be accused of something like this? He was in the alleys and the streets. He was in the homes of those that didn't have the best reputation. This, in many ways, can make us feel uncomfortable. Yet it's the call of our Lord and Savior. And so what we see from this text, that God is calling us to practice hospitality. If you're taking notes, I would love for you to write, just practice hospitality. That God calls us to practice hospitality, because the banquet is open to all, and he's inviting us to be a part of inviting others. That is our hope and prayers. We talk about Rally Sunday. Many, these students, we are within 25 minutes of 5 different college campuses around here. My dream for this service is not to change this service. I love this service. Oh, did I hear a little woo? It was a little girl. Even the 2-year-old loves this service. Amen. My dream is not to change the service, but to fill it with some college students that might not think and talk and act, and you know, they might wear tighter pants like me, and you know, they might look a little different, and they might sound different. But there is a lot that can be gleaned from them, and I believe there is a rich knowledge and wisdom in this room that younger millennials are dying for. And if you hold it to yourselves, there is a blessing that is being held up and stored, just like the rich people with excuses, I can't come to the banquet, it's going to be messy, or I'm going to have to give up some things. Yeah. There's some blessing that this room has that needs to be given away. Now, there are so many different ways that we can get involved. So, well, first let me just, on the hospitality. Why does God want us to practice hospitality? Hospitality because of God's love for the broken, for those that are marginalized, those that are oppressed. Who are those people? Me. Us. Practicing hospitality to those, for those, the crippled, the blind, the lame, it reminds us in the gospel that we were once blind, that we weren't able to walk, that we did not have life outside of Jesus. And so God gets us to practice that. Second point, quickly. In that verse you see there, to go quickly. You see it in verse 21? Go out quickly into the streets. There is an urgency that we need to have. We can go, we can treat every day just like there's going to be another day. Yet there's an urgency in the gospel that those that are perishing do not have this blessing of Jesus, and we need to take this to them. We need to invite people to this banquet, to church, to have them come hear about who Jesus is. To open it in your own homes. It doesn't just have to be at church. It can be inviting others into your house. But to hear about Jesus, to invite them, because Jesus is standing at the door and he's knocking. And he's wanting, he's asking to come in. So to go quickly, that we would do it quickly. Here's a third one. The servant. Write down, if you're taking notes, I am a servant. A servant. Sometimes, often, and this is sometimes even preaching to pastors, is we can forget as a pastor that we are servants. All of us. We're all priests. We're all servants. We all share. We have the ability to share the good news. That's what I love about this passage. Jesus, the servant, the master, doesn't just go, he doesn't say, okay, let me find the most qualified one that's going to go out. No, what does he send? He sends the servant. The servant has the ability, and the servant is empowered to go invite. You can say, well, I don't know enough about the gospel. I don't know enough about this, or You, I, can invite. You are qualified to share, to invite to the banquet. You're qualified. I like to use this analogy often. Sometimes we feel that in order to help out at church, I mean, we have so many different needs. Whether we've got, what do we have? Mark, how many, 4 or 5 buses out there? What do you have? 4. We've got buses. If you can drive, we've got 20, those 5 college campuses and we have more. Let's go pick people up. There's college students that want to go to church and don't have a place. If you can drive, hey, maybe volunteer. Like, hey, let's go pick people up. Or there's homes. We have senior homes, and people are dying for rides to come to church. Family, can we take care of these people? Can we bring them in? Often I use this analogy. Sometimes we say, well, I don't know if I'm called to that ministry. Right? We do that. But often, I mean, how many of us, we brushed our teeth this morning? Did we feel called to brush our teeth? I'm not going to brush my teeth. I didn't feel called. I've watched SportsCenter many times without feeling called to watch SportsCenter. We do this, right? So we hyper-spiritualize serving. We say, I don't know if that's my ministry. Here's the thing. Jesus is always with you. So yes, don't go and serve. Don't try and do it by your own strength. But Jesus, in the Great Commission, right? He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What does he promise at the end? That I will be with you always. So if we begin to hear this and you have an idea how to love somebody, maybe it's greeting, maybe it's passing out, maybe it's helping this service look beautiful. However it is, God will be with you in those small decisions. And to give it a try. Because there's many things that we do. Scriptures tell us that to pray without ceasing. You can offer up prayers as you're doing all of these things. We don't need to hyper-spiritualize it. Do you know what I'm saying? And say, well, I'm not sure if I'm called. You can try a ministry out and see how it works for you. That's an encouragement, how we grow in the Lord. Lastly, I want to encourage you all, if you're not in a life group, to get into a life group. Brian does a great job and has a great heart for creating this community here at Wilshire. And life groups, if you're new, what we want to say is your first step to going deeper is get into a life group. Why a life group? Life group's a place where you can practice hospitality. You can learn and grow in grace. You can learn, as you're learning about God, it's a place to kind of practice it out, to practice it, to learn, to make mistakes, to hear other people's perspectives. Okay, Rob said this on Sunday. How does that translate to the Monday through Saturday? Because you have to begin to explore your context, and you have to begin to push each other and grow, and that's where a life group is really important. And can't encourage you enough. And secondly, a life group is a place where you can share your struggles and people can pray for you and help you. You are not in this alone. And others can come alongside you and share your struggles and pain. Now you might say, well, I don't want to be vulnerable in this. Because here's the real secret in church. There aren't professional Christians, right? We're all sinners saved by grace. Some of us have been around longer, and so we learn tricks, right? How to say certain things, raise our hands certain times in church. We know how to do church. But often, we can be like the rich, having excuses really to get down and enjoy the banquet. My prayer is that we would begin to share our struggles. And if you don't want to share your struggles, that's fine. Come to a life group. You ultimately will grow more when you share your struggles, but just come. Come as you are. The invitation has been, you have been invited to the banquet. My prayer this morning as we begin to close is whether if you're just joining us, that you would hear this invitation that Jesus says to come. Jesus says this. He says, come to me, all who are weary. Come to me. Are you hungry? Come to me. That the true feast, the true banquet, that this is, I want to end on this, that we cannot miss, the true feast is Jesus. That's what we get to feast on. That's what we get to lift his name on high. And whether, do you see in the scripture earlier, Jesus says this, that you will be blessed. When you do all of these things, church, family, there is blessing in it. You get blessing. Jesus says it is better to give than to receive. They recently did a study that gave money to two different groups. And one group spent money on themselves, and the other group, their job was to spend money on other people. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out which group tested happier. The group that gave away. There's a cycle when we want to spend money on ourselves and spend it on it's a miserable life. Yet the life that serves and gives away and gets to see other people come to know the greatest gift of all, and that's Jesus. What a joy that is to be able to be in the great banquet, to be in heaven, and to see other people that you invited, that you were a part of welcoming. So how does this look like for us? And one step we can take as a church, when people come in these doors, you greet them and you begin to get to know their name and know their story. Bill Hybel has a quote, you will never lock eyes with another person that there's not an all-out search for in the kingdom of God. Every person you lock eyes with, God is crazy about. We get to welcome people and be hospitable here and show people how much the God universe loves them. And wow, we are glad that you're here to hear about this Jesus that we have been blessed by can't help but share the blessing. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are the ultimate blessing. Father, help us as a church to not keep this blessing to ourselves. Lord, we want to share, we want to love. Lord, we thank you for the cross. How your son Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, so that we may be restored and brought to you. That's why we gather, Lord. We gather because we were once your enemies. We were once a crippled, lame, blind, and now we've been given sight. Father, I pray that we would step into this light and that we would step in and the beautiful banquet that we would get to see and enjoy serving together. Help us to taste and see that you are good. When the serving gets tough, when it is difficult, may we be reminded of your grace and your love in our lives. We pray that in your son's name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Rob. As we prepare